Good evening, everyone. Welcome to City Council meeting this evening. It is 7 o'clock, right on the dot. Thank you. Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. Can you believe that this is the last month of the year? My goodness, it's moving quick. This evening, we're going to have the invocation done by Stephen Penner. He's pastor from First Mennonite Brethren or First Mennonite Church. And if you all would please stand, the Pledge of Allegiance will be done by Councilman Soleno. And please remain standing after the invocation.
Testing.
Okay. You're on.
Let us pray. O God Almighty, creator of all, author of wind and land, mountain and sea, blending in your vision the wild and unpredictable with the orderly and the remembered, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as a community in orderly fashion, everyone in our seat, our city leaders stationed in front of us, this place where we think about things big and small and all important to our common life in Reedley. Oh God, we ask for healthy portions of discernment, intelligence, and wisdom for all, and especially for those who carry the burden and have been chosen to give leadership to our town. May an unmistakable longing for justice for all and respect for everyone characterize this evening's deliberation, and may a spirit of empathy and trust pervade this council session. These things I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here tonight. Would you please join the council in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fass.
Here.
Councilmember Soleno.
Here.
Mayor Pignon.
Here. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening, Council?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Thank you.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Soleno?
Yes.
Very well. We go into introductions of there's several introductions this evening, and I'd like to call Chief Garza up. Introduction of new reserve police officers, Victor Perez and Giovanni Medina. Chief?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, members of our community, families and friends. It's my pleasure this evening to introduce two of the newest members of the Reedley Police Department. As you're aware, the hiring process for a police officer is not the easiest in the world. Taking something that Pastor Penner had said, that many are chosen, okay, but very few are asked to put on this uniform. So it is my pleasure, and it's always nice to be able to introduce Eddie's Giovanni. Holy smokes, he was making me nervous. Eddie's, thank you. Good. Just kind of goes to show you the quality of folks that we have. But it's always a pleasure to be able to introduce officers to the city council and to this community, because these are the folks that are going to that don the uniform, and they put themselves between good and evil. They are the ones that protect all those who cannot be protected or cannot protect themselves. So they are the ones that are called when help is needed. And it's always been said that it's the law enforcement and our first responders, really, who always run towards danger while everyone runs away from it. Mm-hmm. And they do it because they have the heart and the spirit of a warrior. But they also have the mind and the heart of a guardian. And that's really what we expect our officers to do. So it's with great pleasure. I'm going to introduce Giovanni first. Giovanni, born and raised in Parlier. Came to us, graduated from Fresno City Police Academy, and he's really been, some of you may have noticed him or may recognize him. If not, he has great talent. What we don't know about him as a police officer, what we do know about him is his work ethic. Giovanni worked over at Ortega's, and our officers, you always went in there and they saw him and stuff. And one thing they saw this man work, and he didn't stop working and stuff. So he was always the first one in and the last one out. So what we expect from Giovanni is no different, is that first guy in and last guy out. And that's what we're expecting from Giovanni. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce Giovanni Medina. And not that this next officer is any, or that Giovanni's less than the next officer, but it's great pleasure to introduce to you Victor Perez. Victor started with the police department as a police explorer while he was in high school. And he promoted through the ranks, became a cadet, became a reserve CSO, and then eventually was selected to be sponsored to the police academy. Victor is one of the latest officers that I had told you several years ago that we were going to try to home grow our own officers. So he is a product of that promise. Now, one thing I want to say, and I'm going to embarrass Victor a little bit, but that's okay. He earned every bit of it. Victor graduated this last Thursday from the Fresno Police Academy. I was there in order with, along with his parents who are here as well, to present him with his badge. He graduated in uniform, but Victor was honored by being selected. I'll give you the first one, which, that one was pretty interesting too. He was the runner up in the physical fitness part of it. Now you can tell he's kind of lost a lot of weight. I think that's what happened. He just worked himself to death over there, but already told his parents that we need to give him some more food and stuff, and we'll see what happens. Fill him out a little bit. But the award that he was given on Thursday at his graduation is an award that is a coveted award that all cadets strive to achieve. This is the all-around top student, meaning that Victor was chosen by his peers, by the staff at the academy, to receive this award for exhibiting the leadership qualities and a whole lot of other qualities throughout the academy. Obviously, it's only given to one cadet per academy. So we were very fortunate and very surprised, as was Victor, I believe, that he was voted as the top all-around student for Fresno City Academy class number 157. So he comes with a lot of credentials and a lot of expectations now. Now, our field training officer said, well, live it up there, mister. We're going to knock you right back down again. So we look forward to Victor. Again, he's a homegrown kid, really high school, and we look forward to seeing everything and having him here in our community serving the people that he, his family and his friends here and stuff. So we really look forward to Victor being here. So Victor, congratulations and welcome.
Chief, I know you've heard me say this before. It's always exciting to see people from our own community. You've heard me say, the acronym TTK, right? Train, teach, and keep people for Reedley. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Thank you very much.
Very good. Item two. Introduction of new reserve, I'm sorry, introduction of Jody Botello, Senior Coordinator and Recreation Coordinator, Jesus Rodriguez. Sarah.
Yes.
You're on.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. It is my honor tonight to introduce our two newest hires, and I am truly bringing before you the best of the best. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Jody Botello was born in Sanger. We won't hold that against her, but she was raised in Reedley. She attended Dunlap Elementary in Reedley High School. She married her high school sweetheart, Tom Botello, who is here with us tonight. And together they have shared two beautiful daughters, Brianna Botello and Madison Botello. Jody has had the privilege to work with senior citizens at Sierra View Homes Retirement for the past 23 years. I will tell you, since she has came on, I have gotten more phone calls about how did you get her? How did you get her over here? And so the seniors are just really excited to have her. She, over at Sierra View, though, she provided a variety of activities, programs, outings, and events, and she looks forward to bringing that experience over here to our seniors at the Senior Center. So, Jody, do you want to say a couple words before I talk about Jesus?
Hello. Thank you very much, City of Reedleaf, for giving me the opportunity to serve the senior citizens of the City of Reedleaf. I'm looking forward to gaining their trust and every opportunity I can to serve them. Thank you.
And Jesus, he grew up here in Reedleaf. He attended Jefferson Elementary School. He went to Grant Middle School, Reedleaf High School, and Reedleaf College. He enjoyed playing sports, spending time with family, and exploring new places. He actually came to us about 7 months ago and asked if he could do his internship with us from Fresno State. He's currently finishing his degree in recreation administration. So in the next few days, he'll have a bachelor's degree in that. And I first started hearing people say, hey, Jesus, when did you start working here? And I'm like, gosh, he knows a lot of people. And then I took him to one of our foundation meetings, and one of the members just raved about him for like 3 minutes. What a runner he was. What a great student he was. And I'm like, wow, who is this guy? And then he started working for us. And he really helped us out during a time that we needed help in our youth sports. So he started recruiting coaches. He started background checking coaches. He started recruiting them, training them, helping me with hiring staff, really filled a void that we needed during a time that he was supposed to be learning in true recreation style. He jumped in with both feet and learned a lot on the job. So I was proud of him for all that he had learned and he had showed, and then he truly competed for the position and earned it. So he is our new recreation coordinator, and we are happy to have him aboard as well.
Good afternoon, council members. Thank you for having me here. I just want to say a couple words. I'm very excited for this opportunity that came forward for me. Like I mentioned on my bio here, I grew up here in the city of Reedleaf. So being able to come back and serve for the community really means a lot to me. More than anything, I want to thank Sarah here, who has given me the opportunity to come in and serve as a new recreation coordinator for the city of Reedleaf. So I'm very honored for this position, and I'm very excited to continue serving the city of Reedleaf. Thank you.
Nice to have you aboard.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome
aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I think I knew that was your degree.
You'll do okay because you're at Jefferson.
Right. He was under the county.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
Wow. Good. We know who to talk to from here on out.
Very well. We go to item three. Next presentation is by the Reedleaf Youth Coalition on updates on vaping.
Okay. And Mayor, while they're coming up, I'd like to take an opportunity to remind the council that this group of leaders here has presented in front of the council previously. And I think I can speak for all of us to say they opened our eyes to what was happening in the world of vaping and smoke products. From the meeting we had, or from their presentation, Joe Garza and I really pleased to sit with the group in my office and talk through some strategies, and I was very honored that they wanted to come back and present to you with some follow-up. So this group looks familiar to you because they were here several months ago speaking with you. So ladies, if you'd like, go ahead.
Welcome back.
Good evening. My name is Zuhedi Del Rio, and I am a junior at RHS.
And hi, my name is Melanie Mestre, and I'm a senior at Reedleaf High School. I would just like to mention that due to other extracurriculars and sports, our other coalition members couldn't make it. So we are the Reedleaf Cali Youth Coalition, and we would like to provide you with some updates of what we've been up to. So I would like to begin with current news regarding related illnesses to tobacco and new tobacco products. So in recent news, e-cigarette or vaping product use associated lung injury, or e-valley for short, is currently reported to have caused 2,291 cases of lung injury as of December 3rd, 2019, 48 confirmed deaths nationwide, and 4 deaths in California. There are also new vaping devices. The UWell Amulet has similar features to the Apple Watch, and there is also the vape hoodie, each easily disguisable. We previously mentioned the 15,500 tobacco flavors that we're counting. However, there are now 22,000 flavored tobaccos. We have also gone to the KCOSD school board meeting in September 9, 2019. Two coalition members presented to the school board. I was one of those two coalition members who presented information of the epidemic of flavored tobacco with youth, and we also suggested faculty and service trainings regarding how students mask the usage of flavored tobacco. Recently, we've conducted educational presentations. In T.L. Reed Middle School, Silas Barch Naval Lenchen Middle School, and Jefferson Elementary School, we presented to both elementary students and their parents of Reedley. We have also housed community education we've also gone to the events of Reedley to educate the community and gain support to protect our young people from flavored tobacco products and mentholated cigarettes. These events that we were fortunate to be at were the Reedley Middle College High School Club Rush, the Reedley Fiesta, and the Red Ribbon Carnival. The multiple presentations we are fortunate to present in, we've asked the following question. What do you think are the most effective ways that schools, students, and families can help prevent young people from becoming addicted to nicotine?
Some responses from Reedley parents are communication. Districts need to make it a requirement that information be disturbed. Families must be informed. Communicate with your children. Some responses from Reedley youth are explaining the dangers of smoking and ban it forever so it does not get in our lungs. If you notice, youth specifically are asking for more education on this topic as well as a total elimination of these products. So another thing that we have been up to this past month is store observations. Two of our coalition members conducted the store observations from 1,000 feet of schools. Recently, Melanie and I conducted the remaining stores, and Reedley, as a result, we concluded that each store sold menthol and unflavored cigarettes. I like to note, Walgreens in Reedley are no longer going to sell their tobacco products as a result of the latest death connected to the tobacco use. We have also been working on the educational utility bill. The idea is from the city manager. She wanted us, the Reedley Cali Youth Coalition, to be able to provide information about tobacco products and their health effects to the community of Reedley. You may already have seen the flyer in the most recent utility bill. We have also been working on the media campaigns for both youth and adults. And as you can see, this flyer is specifically for youth and the adult one is being worked on. As you can see, these are the state and federal updates. There's nothing really moving on, leaving it at the local level. The listed are communities reducing access to flavored tobacco. In the packets you received, you can find the language for the policies in a couple of the following cities. In San Francisco, even though being sued by Juul, they are maintaining the ban of flavored tobacco products. And we would also really love to sit down and talk with the city manager and chief to discuss options regarding flavored tobacco products in the community of Reedley. Some plans for next year include continue education, Reedley Youth Summit, February 1st, Youth Quest 2020, March 16th, and partner with CYM and Restorative Justice Program. And this is our contact information. Thank you.
I, for one, am glad to see that you're working in that area. There's so much of that going on, and, you know, it's we talk about cleaning the air, and we don't talk as much as we should about cleaning our lungs. So two thumbs up for this. It's great.
So can I say something? The list of all these stores that have been selling these things, is there anything that the council can come back later on and discuss how we can eliminate those from the city of Reedley?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, I am so proud of these youth leaders and what they've done. When they met with the chief and I the first time, from that meeting, they developed a strategy, and for goodness sakes, you gals followed the strategy you said you were going to follow. I'm so impressed with everything you've done. Amazing. You are future city managers, by the way, I'll tell you. So what we can do, and what I'd be pleased to do, is to sit with a group. What I heard you request was another follow-up meeting where we can talk about options to pursue, and we can bring something back to the council with some options of more and more cities, I understand, are banning flavored vaping and tobacco products. There is a federal law regarding mentholated products, so we're going to walk carefully around that one. But I think we can meet with you and then come back and talk through what the council has options to do.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dave, we had a presentation just last week on vaping at Jefferson for our parents, and they're not I wasn't aware either when you first came to the first time how bad it is and how the gadgets, their school supply, the way they use the supplies at school to hide it, and it's just really scary. But I think too, going to more schools and presenting it to us parents is going to make a lot of difference too, because they'll know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. And I will say the utility bill insert, I don't believe actually has gone. I think it's going in this month's bill. Paul, I'm looking for a nod or a shake.
December.
It is so professionally done. I am absolutely impressed. And it will go out to all of our households and businesses that receive a utility bill. And the flyer is both in English and in Spanish. Very graphic, very visually stimulating. So I'm really looking forward to our community seeing that.
So. If I could just add one thing, after our meeting with this group and also with city manager and I, they encouraged us to go out and do some enforcement, and I believe, and one of your coalition members was able to do a ride along with our detectives during that sting operation, and we did go out and contact, I believe, 12 different stores, and one store did sell to our decoy, and they were obviously issued a citation for that and stuff. So I think the one coalition member got a experience that she'll never forget. She was really interested in law enforcement, so we helped facilitate that ride along with our officers and stuff. So it was an exciting time for them as well. So they encouraged us. We're going to continue doing it as time permits, and we have the availability to.
Great.
And with this program, I think it all starts at home first. Mm. Getting to the parents, how serious this program is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, girl.
Thank you, ladies. Work. Great job.
Excellent work. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the council? Thanks again. Public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction, and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any questions from the council? Questions from the public? Please come to the podium, Steve.
Sort of taking advantage of being here tonight.
Great.
Steve Penner, I live on Ponderosa Avenue near Frankwood, near the hospital. I'm also serve on the Community Service Commission, and I'm also the president of the Reedley Parks and Recreation Foundation. And I'd just like to say a good word about the Reedley Sports Park tonight. And Sarah did not put me up to this. But I remember the excitement of when we had the groundbreaking for the sports park, and then in time the 10, 11 acres was developed. And if you drive by there in the evening, their lights are on and there's activity all the time at our sports park. We have a beautiful water tower, but there's still 30-some plus acres of undeveloped land, and we've gone through two plans for that land. And I fear that we're going to have to go through a third before we actually can break ground again. But I'd just like to say that I have a dream that someday we'll see people like Jesus, who's a really, incidentally, a very fine soccer player. We'll see him playing out there, and we'll see those basketball courts and maybe that splash pad and those ball fields around the water tower with people kind of up in that balcony watching the games. It would be really a wonderful day when that comes. As speaking for the foundation, we stand, I don't know where this could lead, but if there's some way of doing a private-public partnership, the foundation is positioned to be of assistance, of help with that. And I'm not smart enough to know how all those things work, but other communities have done it, and maybe we could too, where public and private work together for the good of the community. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this whole thing needs lots of money, like millions of dollars, and what do we need? A windfall from somewhere, a benevolent state legislator, well, more than one, a divine intervention, a little bit of local taxation on our people. But just to say that the sports park is a huge asset to our community, and I look forward to the day when it is completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve, you know, one of the things that when I got on the council 33 years ago, parks was my, that's what I stressed for parks. And we've done a good job. But when 2010, when we had that groundbreaking for the sports park, it was something that was going to be great for the city, but it's been sitting there just dead. There's no funding. And I mean, staff has been trying to get grants to improve it, but it's going to take time. I only have 2 years in the council, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we had some great visions for that sport park. Mm-hmm. It was going to include tournaments, hotels next to it, because that's very important. Something that's going to generate a lot of revenue for this city when it ever is developed. So I can see where you're coming from.
And Council, if you wouldn't mind if I make a comment, we had a wonderful lunch meeting with Mr. Penner and some Dale Melville and some others about issues including the sports park, where we explained that the first grant that we went after, which was a multi-million dollar grant, we were not successful. And one of the things that really Sarah and I are just so angry about, and I will say angry, and so Sarah and I don't get angry very often, but this is to me how the state misleads the public, in that they passed this parks bond that we were supposed to be able to apply for funds for the sports park through this parks bond, only to find out that they went by a demographic model where we couldn't even apply for a grant because the median income in the neighborhood surrounding was too high. And even though it was a regional park, so it's, to me, it's just one more way that the state is misleading the public when they go out for these bonds. I will tell you that Senator Hurtado has taken a specific interest in the sports park and has asked for some information. So it's very possible that we can circumvent the grants process and maybe get some trailer bill budget dollars. And we'll continue to look at those options. Because, you know, I made a commitment to Mr. Salino that we would be building out this sports park, and I only have 2 more years, so I need to get on it. Thank you.
You know, dreams do come true, right? So we need to keep dreaming and keep those visions coming, because you just never know how and what's going to take place in the future. Thank you, Steve. Consent agenda items. They are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. Council members vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received the unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Are there any items that the council wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove item 9. I'm sorry, that's a public hearing.
That's not on consent.
Oh, okay, so it only goes to 8. Never mind, sorry.
Okay.
Which one? It's a public hearing. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda if there's no more.
Second.
Councilmember
Betancourt? Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. So we go to
Number 9.
Number 9. That's funny. Approve ordinance 2019-008, amending Chapter 1 of Title 9 of the Reedley City Code relating to building codes, fire and building. Chief?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jerry Isaac, Fire Chief. The item before you tonight is ordinance 2019-008, and it relates to the adoption of the 2019 California Building Codes. This is the second part of a two-step process. The ordinance 2019-008 was introduced and given first reading by title only at our regular council meeting back on November 12th, 2019. This is the second reading of the ordinance, and council approval is necessary in order to adopt the 2019 California Building Standards Code along with any local amendments. And staff recommends that the City Council approve Ordinance 2019-008, amending Chapter 1 of Title 9 of the Reedley City Code, adopting the 2019 California Building Codes. And if you have any questions, I can help answer.
You know, one of the questions I kind of thought about it after I had met with the city manager, this changing the codes, building codes, does that have anything to do with the bills that Newsom wants to pass?
Mm. And that's a great question, Councilmember Cellino. This particular item that you're looking at right now does not.
Does not.
It'll include whatever state building codes are already approved and ready to be implemented in 2020, which includes solar readiness and some others. But the housing bills specifically that we've been talking to you about are not in the building code that you're approving tonight. Right. And then the building code that you are approving tonight is actually slightly stricter than the state building code in reference to fire sprinklers. Okay. So that's why we're looking at local adoption of an ordinance as well, because we have a stricter fire sprinkler requirement than the building code.
I thought maybe this might have something to do with that, but it's not. Okay. That's something later on. All right. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions from the council? I'd like to open up the good. I'm sorry? Did you have a question?
Yeah, just a comment. In section 3, is that the section that talks about the sprinkler system that we're making it more restrictive? And so my question is, how much more is this costing someone when they're going to build or they're going to add on to a facility or to a home? How much does this cost to do the extra things that we're requiring in addition to the state regulations?
I'm not real sure because I'm not a contractor, but it could probably add several dollars per square foot because this applies to buildings that are 5,000 square feet and larger. If you're going to build anything less than 5,000 square feet, this code doesn't apply. The sprinkler code doesn't apply.
Okay, so for most homes, it would not apply?
All new home construction is required to have sprinklers. This would apply to large commercial buildings.
I'm just thinking we want to encourage building out some of the commercial areas that we have, but are we hindering that by having a stricter code?
I don't believe so. You know, this code has been on the books for probably 6 cycles already, so about 18 years. And we've had folks like Bravante come in. We've had expansions like over at the new Sun Pacific building, and they just consider that part of the process when they have to add sprinklers to their buildings. They know it's coming, and typically they don't build anything smaller than 5,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Chief, the city's proposed amendment is 5,000 square feet, but
yes.
the standard building or the standard fire code, what's the minimum threshold for
12,000 square feet?
12,000. So it's
right.
So already the code would require 12,000. So the city is simply lessening that threshold to 5,000 square feet.
And the reasoning is just based on our climatic conditions here. It's super hot here, and if we have to respond out to a commercial structure that's on fire. You can see some of the data that's included in the staff report. It just creates a safer environment for our firefighters and the people that have to respond to those types of incidents.
Well, I just think all over the state, I mean, a lot of the state is in the same area as far as, you know, temperatures in the summer as we
mm-hmm.
have here. So why are we making it stricter? That's just my comment.
Are there any other comments or questions from the council? We open up public hearing. Are there any questions from the public? Being none, we close public hearing. And we don't, motion to approve, right?
We need to entertain a motion.
Any motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
That 5,000 square foot you're talking, that was square foot you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot size?
No.
That's the building
that's
size.
Building size,
okay.
Yeah. So any buildings...
All right, just want to make sure that every
okay.
once in a while some of these things sneak by us. So, all right,
mm-hmm.
good.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Very good. We move on to item 10. Number one, adopt resolution 2019-099, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Reedley declaring results of special annexation election. Determining validity of prior proceedings and directing recording of amendment to notice of special tax lien. Paul.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Just a very brief presentation tonight. This item is the continuation of the required business that was associated with the public hearing that was officially opened at the November 12th, 2019 council meeting. The public hearing was continued until the meeting tonight to provide additional time for sealed election ballots to be received by the city clerk. And this is for the annexation number 16 for the Reedley Community Facilities District. It's a two-step process ordinarily to start the process, the resolution of intent, and then afterwards to accept the ballot, to accept the election results. So that said, we continued the public hearing till tonight. We do have all of the ballots in from the property owners, and so that concludes my presentation.
Okay. Very good. Are there any questions from the council? So we open the public hearing. Are there any questions from the public? Do we do? like to ask, do we ask City Clerk here to announce the number of ballots that were mailed and how many were returned?
We did have 5 ballots mailed out with a total of 69 votes. We did receive 5 ballots and with a total of 69 votes.
Thank you. Can we open these ballots, please?
Absolutely. First one we have is Theodore Mullen, trustee. 20 votes. They have voted yes. That is 20 votes. Volkman, trustee. They also have 20 votes. They have voted yes. We have Duarte, trustees, Fino Revocable Trust. They have 14 votes.
Votes we have sufficient to be able to approve the resolution. Total amount of yes votes are 55. Thank you, City Manager. We had 14 no votes.
We did have to get at least 46 votes, so we did have sufficient to approve resolution.
Great.
Sorry.
Officially close the public hearing now.
Okay, so we now close the public hearing.
Can I ask a question? Just because I'm curious. So why is this is a city property put into this community facilities district?
The particular parcel that we have that we acquired is the lot next to the DMV, and so it will be developed. And under our CFD ordinance, all new development is required to be annexed into the CFD. And so that includes city properties. So it is now part of the CFD, and any new development that occurs there will be part of the CFD. So, thank you.
Very good. Is there any more questions or comments from the council?
No.
I close the public hearing. We move on.
I apologize. I do need a motion. And did I get a motion from Councilmember Salino? I couldn't hear.
Yes.
So I have a first second. From Councilman Salino.
Oh, second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Item 11, adopt resolution number 2019-107 for proposed annexation of phase one of tract 6196 into the City of Reedley's Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District, number one. Should we read the item first, or?
Yes, if you'll read through, yes, please.
Open public hearing for the annexation of tract 6196 self-help into the City of Reedley's Landscaping and Lighting District, number one, Zone Z. Close the public hearing and open ballot. So we're opening the public hearing.
Anything to present?
Yeah, I think I'll do a quick presentation and then
please
open it up for public hearing, if that's okay, Mayor. Thank you very much, Mayor, members of the council. Rob Terry, Community Development Director. I'll be taking this item and the next item on behalf of engineering. I don't pretend to aspire to the lofty realm of an engineer, so you'll have to forgive me if any of this item seems a bit foreign to me. But in front of you today, staff is recommending the City Council adopt Resolution Number 2019-107, approving annexation of Phase 1 of Tract 6196, which is owned by Self Help Enterprises, into the Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1, Zone Z. Zone Z will be included in the LLMD Number 1 fiscal year for the 2020-2021 annual assessment. Originally on October 9th of 2019, the City Council adopted Resolution Number 2019-09, which initiated these proceedings and set a public meeting and a public hearing for November 12th of 2019. However, state law requires that a minimum of 45 days after the initiation of proceedings take place, that the public hearing take place, and as such, the item was continued from November 12th until tonight, December 10th. The lone property owner associated with this one, of course, was notified of this change in the public hearing date, and the public hearing has been appropriately advertised and the general public notified as all required by state law. Landscape and lighting maintenance districts are put in place in order to maintain and provide ongoing costs that are associated with landscaping, street trees, and street light utility costs within the public right-of-ways or within easements. Tract 6196, Self-Help, is being annexed into the LLMD number 1 in order to cover their fair share costs of that. There is no landscaping that is to be maintained by the city within the limits of Tract 6196, and therefore this project is only being assessed for the streetlight costs associated with it. Those monthly costs for 11 each 70-watt local streetlights are estimated to be $58.30 per month. So in accordance with state law, an assessment diagram is attached to the staff report as Exhibit B1. That includes the engineer's assessment report A, and it was prepared indicating the property benefited and the amount of the assessment to each property within that tract area. This report is also on file with the city clerk for anyone who may be interested in taking a look. In addition to the public meeting, the city council is also required to conduct this as a public hearing, which is why we're here tonight, and notice of this public hearing has been provided also in compliance with state law. The fiscal impact of this is estimated a maximum annual maintenance cost of $699.60, and that will be assessed against the benefiting properties associated with this hearing tonight. As such, staff is recommending that the City Council adopt Resolution Number 2019-107, approving the annexation of Phase 1 of Tract 6196 into the LLMD Number 1 Zone Z. That concludes staff's report. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. We have any questions by council? We are not making any motions at this time. If you have questions, now is the time.
So I do have a question. So how much is it? So much a year? 600 a year for each?
The engineer's estimated costs estimate the 11 70-watt local streetlights at $58.30 per month. Uh-huh. That adds up to $699.60 per year.
Oh, okay. That'd be for the total property.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Rob, in the map, that we're looking at, the portion that goes directly south. Now, are those? Does that have to do anything with the subdivision that's going to go in there and the lot sizes?
With the Landscape Lighting and Maintenance District does not have anything to do with the actual approved map itself as far as the lot configurations. All of that was through the tentative map approval process and part of the final map process, of course, that was that came before council previously. This simply has to do with any of the landscape lighting and maintenance costs that are associated with items that are in the public right-of-way.
The only reason I'm asking is because people have seen that, I've shown some of the customers that they see what's coming down in their neighborhoods, and they were just wondering what kind of lot sizes are we looking at in that. But this map doesn't show it, so it's something else. Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from the council?
No. So this is only for the first part, right?
That is correct.
The first phase only, so when the next phase gets approved the final approval, then that'll come before us separately?
That is correct. At the time where they are ready to go through a final map process and a developer is actually moving forward with that, it'll go through the same process as far as an engineer's report being prepared and those items brought back to council for consideration specific to any items within the public right-of-way or within the easement areas that would fall under the landscape lighting and maintenance district regulations.
And Mr. Stellino, you'd asked a question about the lot size, and I remember specifically going back and looking through all of those lots to make sure that they were decent size, and they surprisingly they're bigger than I thought they were going to be for as many homes that they're going to have in that area.
The reason I was asking,
go back and look at the look at that report.
I believe the map that we showed about that was that some of those are going to be 5,000 square foot lots.
Yes, I believe so.
Right. Maybe I don't know if we're supposed to be discussing this at all.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's questions that you had.
Sure.
This particular item tonight was solely for the LLMD,
right.
And this particular development, I don't think, had any lots that were 5,000 square feet. I think they were all larger than that. So
yeah,
I think you're in good shape.
Nice size.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? So we open the public hearing. Any questions from the public? Being none, we close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We need to do the ballots.
Sorry, there is no motion to be made on item A as we proceed to the item B because that just allows me to open the ballot.
Okay.
We had one ballot that was mailed out with one vote, and we did receive the ballot back with one vote. So after we have closed the public hearing, I am now going to open the ballot.
Very good.
The ballot is from Self Help Enterprise, and they do have one vote. They have voted yes, so you are able to continue with item number B.
Great. Adopt resolution number 2019-107 of the City of Council of the City of Reedley approving the annexation of Tract 6196 Self-Help into the City of Reedley's Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1, Zone Z. Does council have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fignon?
Yes. Excuse me. Item 12, adopt resolution number 2019-108 for proposed annexation of tract 6206 Almond Grove into the City of Reedley's Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1. Open public hearing for the annexation of tract 6206 Almond Grove into the City's Landscaping and Lighting District Number 1, Zone Y, close public hearing and open ballot. Paul?
Thank you, Mayor. Similar item to the last item that we just saw, except dealing with a separate development happening within the City of Reedley. Staff is recommending that the City Council adopt resolution number 2019-108, approving annexation of tract 6206 Almond Grove into the City of Reedley's Landscape Lighting and District Number 1, Zone Y. Zone Y will be included in the Landscape Lighting and Maintenance District Number 1 fiscal year for the 2020-2021 annual assessment. I won't go back over the same items that had the public hearing continued to today because they apply exactly the same as they did to the last item. I will just premise it with saying that all state laws have been complied with. Property owner was, of course, appropriately notified, and all of the public noticing was done in accordance with state law. Similar to the last item, this is also to ensure that providing ongoing costs of landscaping, street trees, and street lighting utility costs within the public right-of-ways or easements are covered, and track 6206 Almond Grove is being annexed into LLMD number 1 Zone Y in order to do this. The annual maintenance costs associated with Zone Y are calculated using 92 cents per square foot, estimated by the city's landscape service contract cost to maintain the park strips and the medians within this LLMD area. Streetlights within Zone Y include 13 70-watt lights, three each 100-watt lights, and two each 150-watt lights. The cost for lighting within this zone is estimated at a cost of $119.25 per month. Similar to the last item, in accordance with state law, an assessment diagram, which is attached as Exhibit B1 of the engineer's assessment report, Exhibit A was prepared and indicates the properties that are benefiting and the amount of the assessment associated with these properties. So the estimated maximum annual maintenance cost here is $2,210.60, and it will be assessed against the benefiting properties. That concludes staff's report on this item, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
I have a question. That's a lot of difference. One was it 600, and now this is 2,000?
It is.
Oh,
yep.
My goodness.
This is every time.
The lights or what?
Yeah. It's the difference in the amount of items that are there. So on the last item, of course, there was just a few street lights, and that was it. There wasn't any additional landscaping or anything of that nature that was going to be within the public right-of-way. Whereas this one, ensuring blending into the adjacent neighborhood, you're going to see this a lot with infill type of developments where there is a certain type of design criteria around it. And we want to make sure that we have as much cohesion there as we can have. So it's not uncommon to see more items needing to come into an LLMD for something like an infill development project to ensure that that continuation that you already have in your existing city. But as you can see, they're dealing also with landscaping and a significant larger number of lights. And as such, the cost, of course, is more. And hence the reason why the assessment ends up being more.
Is this piece of property, this section, larger than the one with the self-help homes?
As far as its gross acreage,
uh-huh.
It is not.
But and yet they're getting more lights than the...
It's similar in its scale, but it is not larger. Like I said, it's just more infill that you have here. What we're doing now is we're working hard to ensure that the improvements that are being made are happening on private property. So a lot of the lots, street trees, those type of items, we're requiring that those be put onto the private lot as opposed to being placed within the public right-of-way.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
No.
And there will be no motion on this item. We open the public hearing. Are there any questions from the public? Being none, we close the public hearing.
Mayor and members of the council, I did receive one ballot. A total of one vote was mailed out, and we received the one ballot.
Can you open the ballot, please?
The ballot is from Almond Grove Estates. The vote is yes. You can proceed to vote on item B.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Thank you.
We move to item B. Is that where we're at? I just.
Item 13 now. We can proceed. Right.
Adopt resolution number 2019-103, approving the placement of stop signs on Delantere Avenue at the intersections of Beach Avenue and Huntsman Avenue, creating four-way stop controlled intersections. Public Works.
And as you probably know, Russ's mother passed away, and so he is at home getting ready for the funeral. So I'll be taking this item for him tonight. So let me start off by reminding the council that at a meeting last month, the city engineer did bring before this council a recommendation to place a stop sign at Huntsman and Del Alter. The initial recommendation for two stop signs went through the Traffic Safety Commission, and in fact, the Traffic Safety Commission was not supportive of these. However, staff felt that Huntsman and Del Alter made sense. There was some very good public policy debate amongst the council that night, and ultimately what was motioned was to bring back a resolution supporting two stop signs, two four-way stops on Del Alter, one at Huntsman and one at Beach. So what you have before you tonight is a resolution that would allow the city staff to go ahead and place those stops and do noticing out there about the stops. Again, even though this did not meet warrants, there are provisions under the California MUTCD that allows us to do this based upon certain findings. Those findings include proximity to bus stops, speeds, et cetera. So we do have ample authority under California law to do these stop signs.
Are there any questions from the council?
I think that's a great decision because the public there was concerned about speed. And I think that the interview between those two stop signs, I think that's going to slow it down.
Anything to keep our residents safe, right?
Exactly.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Questions or comments from the public? We have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
No.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Item 14, adopt resolution number 2019-109 of the City Council of the City of Reedley authorizing the issuance, sale, and delivery of wastewater revenue refunding bonds to the refinance outstanding wastewater system obligations of the city in the amount not to exceed $15,750,000 and approving related agreements and actions. Admin.
Good evening again, Mayor and City Council. That's quite a mouthful, I know, so appreciate you reading that. So this is a pretty exciting project that we've been working on in administrative services as well as with our financing team. We feel that the positives for this project way outweigh any possible negatives from taking our existing SRF loan from the state of California that we took out in 2007 to expand our wastewater treatment plant. At the time, the loan terms from the state of California were a maximum of 20 years, whereas if we had issued bonds for that same type of expansion, bonds typically have a life of 30 years. But at that time, the money was cheap. It was only 2.4% interest rate, which continues to be a very good rate to have on a loan. But that said, with only 20 years to pay back that amount of money, which was almost $27 million, the payment that we've had to pay out of our wastewater enterprise fund, out of ratepayer funds, has been very high. It's been approximately $1.8 million per year, which equates to about 32% of the wastewater enterprise total budget. So of our total budget to operate the plant, all the staff, all the counter staff to collect the fees and all that stuff. So our debt service on our bonds and our SRF loan are about 32% of our budget. So it's really taken its toll on the budgets. That said, we've struggled with meeting our debt service coverage ratio. So we're required to have 1.2 times coverage. So that's basically just a measure of how much operating cash flow you have left to make your debt service payments. Mm-hmm. So in the last couple of years, because of rising expenses and our utilities, with our benefits, with our insurance costs, all the same costs that are affecting the general fund or impacting our wastewater fund, we're really struggling to hit that 1.2 times coverage. So what this refinance accomplishes is it simply extends the term of that loan out for six more years beyond what would have been its normal payoff date. So this more closely aligns the expansion of the plant. So those improvements at the plant have a lifespan of 40 years or more. We're only operating at about 50% capacity, so it's possible that those expansion, that expansion will be good for even beyond 40 years. So right now we have 20-year debt that's paying for something that's going to have a lifespan of way over 40 years. What we're asking the council to do tonight is to use proceeds from a bank that we issued a RFP process to. They were selected out of 24 different banks. Six provided bids back. We got a very competitive proposal from Opus Bank. They do a lot of public agency financing. They submitted a very competitive proposal. It was the best one. 2.57% for 16 years. We have 10 years left on our SRF loan, so we'd take the money from Opus Bank and we'd pay off the state of California. We'd pay them off next week, and we would now pay Opus Bank a much lower annual debt service payment of about $1.2 million. That would free up over $500,000 a year in our operating budget for the Wastewater Enterprise Fund. It's huge. And over the next 10 years, that would free up over $5.3 million to do deferred capital improvement projects. And there's another benefit that it's not in the staff report, and I do apologize for that. I was planning on mentioning it in the presentation, and I see Bob smiling, and I wonder why. is that we're required by the state of California SRF program to retain 10% of the loan balance in reserve. So our Wastewater Enterprise Fund has an artificially high fund balance, greater than what we would ordinarily keep for a enterprise fund, because the state of California says no matter what your loan is to us, you have to hold back 10% into a reserve set aside fund. So we've been doing that. We've been faithful in meeting that requirement. So we have over $1.5 million set aside right now. That's essentially, we can't touch it for normal deferred capital maintenance projects, that sort of thing. We have to maintain that just for the state of California. If the council approves this tonight, that requirement goes away, and we can now free up that money for some much needed deferred capital. So in addition to the over $500,000 a year, it's about $530,000 a year in lower debt service payments. We also get access to our own money, essentially. So with that, we've got a lot of big projects that are coming up. If you look at our capital improvement plan in the budget, we have millions of dollars of projects that will now have more ability to pay for. It's not going to solve, this will not solve all of our issues in the city. This is not meant to be a silver bullet. But it does take the pressure off of maybe having to increase our rates too much. It doesn't take the pressure off of no more sewer increases, but it does take some pressure off to increase rates just to make debt service. So we wanted to complete this process this month before starting off on our wastewater rate study that we're due for, and it's in the budget for this year. So we wanted to be able to use these lower debt service payments to put into the new rate study. So essentially we're just asking the council for permission to extend our loan period by six more years to free up essentially $7 million over the next 10 years to do some much needed deferred capital projects. The interest rate from Opus Bank is only 17 basis points higher. So we're at 2.4%. We'd be going up to 2.57%. Very small difference, but we would gain a lot more cash flow in the next 10 years. So we've had a really great financing team that are in the audience tonight. If there are more technical questions, they've been really great to work with. So they've made sure that we're considering all of the possible issues here. So with that, that concludes my presentation for the council tonight. But I'm very excited about this because it does add 6 years. I completely understand that's a possible negative. But just to take the pressure off of our enterprise operation, we'll be able to meet our debt service coverage ratio, no problem. It also frees up that, you know, like I said, it frees up that money that we can use for projects right now.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, 6 years goes by real quick.
I just want to thank you for explaining that, because That was my first question, was so we're extending our debt by 6 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that we had to hold that reserve. Mm-hmm. And by getting away from that SRF funding, it really gives the city control over their own money. And I really, really yeah. appreciate you looking into that yeah. and taking mm-hmm. care of that situation for us.
So. So we're sort so this is something that other water and wastewater agencies are doing in the state right now, is that they are taking a look at those old 20-year terms, and they're saying, well, wait a minute, with interest rates being this low, we can now go out to 30 years. And interestingly, our financing team made us aware that the SRF loan program now goes out to 30 years. So it just so happened back in 07, it was 20 was the maximum. Now they're offering 30, which probably would have been what we had yeah. done back then. So yeah, thank you.
Well, just out of curiosity, what's the amount that we will end up paying after the 6 years is up?
After
additional 6 years.
The debt service amount is dropping from $1,750,000 a year, and it's falling to about $1,220,000 okay. a year. So there's a reduction of $530,000, but we will pay that $1.2 million mm-hmm. for 6 years beyond.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think to be totally legally compliant in answering your question, that the total payments will be $19.533 million over the life of the loan.
Yes. Thank you, City Manager.
And Paul, I wanted to concur with Councilman Beck on his comments about. I was talking with City Manager this morning and just mentioning to her that I appreciate when you guys work, you go down and you figure out, you know, when you're going to go buy a piece of property, you know exactly how much it's going to cost and all those little pieces that are down below it. And I appreciate that you see all those pieces and you notate all those pieces in here for us to look at, so we know the whole cost and we know all those back end things that could come up that sometimes we weren't told in the past.
Sure. Had some help here too with our great financing team. Some of these folks we've been working with mm-hmm. for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So they've been great.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Not really.
Any questions from the public? A motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Mayor Pignone?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Council.
Thank you, Council.
Great job. Item 15. Adopt resolution number 2019-106, approving the subdivision map improvement agreement and final map for phase two of tentative subdivision map 6206 at Almond Grove.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Before you tonight, I actually have kind of a unique item. Typically, a final map and a subdivision improvement agreement is fairly straightforward. But there are some timing issues actually associated with this one, and an amended resolution that I'm going to bring forward and ask the council to consider tonight and give you explanations and reasons behind that. I would also like to point out that the applicant, the developer, Mr. Efren Yanez, is here as well tonight, can also answer any technical questions that you might have as a council if you feel that appropriate at that time. Mm-hmm. Originally, the item here was simply to come forward for the approval of the subdivision map improvement agreement and the final map for phase two of tentative subdivision map 6206, which is commonly referred to as Almond Grove. The owner of that tentative subdivision map has requested that City Council approve the final map for phase two associated with that project in accordance with Reedley Municipal Code 11213 and approve entering into a subdivision improvement agreement for timely completion of all public facilities associated with serving phase two, also in accordance with the Reedley Municipal Code. Almond Grove, or Tract 6206, was approved by the Reedley Planning Commission on December 14th of 2017. And it consists of a development of 45 single-family residential units on 9.98 gross acres of land. Currently, the developer is working on phase one, which is the first 18 units associated with that, and at this time was approaching the city to do a final map for the remaining lots to finalize the rest of the 45 single-family lots. when we were approached just last week, which is very late to be approached for a request for a final map, there were some very specific reasons why we were approached by the developer and by his team for us to consider this and to ensure that we were going to address it before the end of the calendar year. And that's what I wanted to touch on a little bit. So first, this is the only active single-family development that we're seeing within the community right now. Earlier tonight, the development was annexed into both the CFD and into the LLMD, so they are actively working toward completing all of the items that they had agreed to within their conditions of approval, everything within the final map for phase one and the subdivision improvement agreement associated with that. They're finalizing all of those items. It's also a local developer, and as you know, we put huge focus on providing the best possible customer service that we can for the entire development community, be it big developer, small developer. We want them to know that when you come to the city of Reedley, you're going to be dealt with transparently, fairly, and as efficiently as possible. We really pride ourselves on that. So we wanted to make sure that we were doing everything that we could to address this request and the reasons why they needed it. So the largest reason why they're looking to have a final map in place or approved by the city council before we hit the end of the 2019 year is because on January 1 of 2020, the new building codes go into effect. And to not go through the hundreds and hundreds of pages of changes that come along with each new code cycle, this one even more significant than we've seen in the last several ones, I will just say that it's estimated to be in between $8,500 and $10,000 per single family unit is the impact for the new code. So if you do not have a final map approved by the local agency before that date, you cannot hand in a building permit application for any lot because that lot is considered to not exist. It is only tentatively approved. However, if you have a final map approved by your local agency, the developer can hand in an application and we are then able to stamp it as received. And if it is received December 31 or before, that holds their place for that application and the 2016 building code will apply to that application and that lot. And then, of course, it goes through its recording process with the county. But when the local agency takes action to approve a final map, that then authorizes staff to be able to accept that preliminary building permit application as received on a certain date. So obviously that's extremely important. This will allow them to utilize the master plans that they already have drawn, have already been reviewed and approved by the building official. And so obviously makes a very large difference there as opposed to having to redesign all of their items to now be compliant with the 2019 code that goes into effect on January 1. In addition, the secondary item that also ends up being a benefit to the city is that our new city engineer is coming on board in the very near future, and this also will allow that city engineer to have input and review time and everything on this project that will be ongoing. So it allows for that city engineer to have more review time and say on this. So the amendments that were looking to be made were made on the amended resolution before you. They're being made because of the timing of the map submittal. Not only was it a later request for acceptance on this item, which we completely understand, but in all honesty, it being the holiday season also complicates the item. We have one council meeting in December. Typically, if something like this were to happen and there was a need for a couple more days of review, you would get it in your second meeting within the month. That's not a possibility. I didn't want to give anybody the Christmas present of being here on Christmas Eve, right? So that's the last thing that we wanted to do. Obviously, the code cycle, as we had talked about, and the major impacts that can have on them. I would like to notate with that even though we can accept an application, if the council takes action on the final map tonight, even though we can accept an application, no permit can actually be pulled and building activity take place until that map has recorded. And I'll tell you in a minute why that's a very important item here. So in review, when the applicant had first handed over the final map and requested us to bring this item forward, we worked very hard. The city surveyor burned a lot of midnight oil, in all honesty, even over the weekends, to take a look at these items. And unfortunately, there were two significant technical items that just continued to not be able to be addressed to where the city surveyor felt that he could come back and say that the map is technically correct at this time. And that was closer calculations and notations of monuments. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to the lay citizen, but it means something extremely important to the land surveying, to how legal lots of record become able to be purchased, owned, how they are assessed, everything down the line from there. There were also some several minor modifications as well. Some of them that, again, might seem small, but something like a notation on the map, if you noticed, it calls it Ennis Avenue and clearly intended to be Inns Avenue and an extension of that. Councilmember Fast, I'm sure that one jumped right off the page for you, as it should. And again, secondarily, this allows our city manager to really be able to take a look at all of these items. Being a little short staff can make that a little bit of challenging. So the amendments to the resolution that we're looking at, in accordance with both Reedley Municipal Code 11219, which is council, how council takes action on the acceptance of final maps for subdivision maps, and in accordance with the Subdivision Map Act, we are allowed to request that city council provide approval of a final map with conditions to still be met, in addition to the conditions of approval that come along with the tentative subdivision map. This will then allow that developer to submit their permit applications before the December 31 date, securing their time to be in the 2016 code cycle and to utilize their currently approved master plans as opposed to the 2019. And one more time, will allow the new city engineer to come in and have the chance to review the project, the final map, and be able to make sure that she's coordinating with the city surveyor and with myself as the community development director. Your approval tonight does not invalidate anything within the draft improvement agreement. For the subdivision improvement agreement, it does not invalidate or change anything. I would like to notate there. All of the improvement plans have previously been reviewed and approved by the previous city engineer before he bought his ski pass for Park City. And the city maintains the ability to hold recording of a map if the technical deficiencies that are being that are still outstanding and still identified are not addressed. The city has the ability to simply say, until those items are corrected and that they are the technical deficiencies are removed, we cannot and will not file that final map. This also does not impact any previous actions that have been taken on behalf of this project as a whole, in addition. So taking a quick look at the resolution here, what we would be adding on to it is, if you look under Section 1, Subsection B, now states that the City Council, in essence, is approving the final map in accordance with the following conditions. A was pre-existing, but B is a new condition, and that is that technical corrections relating to monument placement and notation, closure calculations, and other minor drafting notations as deemed appropriate by the city engineer must be addressed. So council would be looking to take action here with the very, very clear understanding that any of those deficiencies that have already, and they are already known, that are already known by the city surveyor and by me as the community development director, are in their totality addressed, and the city surveyor, city engineer, and myself all give concurrence that those technical deficiencies have been remedied and this map is seen as technically correct. It's not uncommon for there to be small notational errors in a final map and to be caught typically. Even at the county, as it's going through its recording process, small typos, those type of items. This wouldn't include something like that, which is really seen as very normal and makes no changes to the technical accurateness of the map. But it does, of course, include the technical items that we talked about here, in particular the closer calculations and the notations of the monuments that are within the ground. That said, the action that council is being requested by staff to take tonight is to approve the subdivision improvement agreement, which is the guarantee that the developer is coming forward with to complete all of the public improvements that were identified within their public improvement plans that have been reviewed and previously approved by the city engineer. And then in addition to that, to approve the final map subject to the items stated here as far as the fixing of the technical inaccuracies and of the minor notations that still need to be amended. It would be the responsibility of the new city engineer with the concurrence of the city surveyor and myself as the community development director to ensure that those known items are addressed. Those items would need to take place in the very near future because the goal, of course, is for them to hand in permit applications before December 31 in order to keep under the 2016 code cycle. So we're talking about something that it would likely end up taking 5 to 7 additional days to address all of those technical items before the city engineer, city surveyor, and myself would be able to determine whether or not it's technically correct. And at that time, then forward it to the city clerk for packaging and sending off for recording. So that concludes staff's report. I know that it's a bit outside of the norm. My apologies for that. Hopefully, I've explained decently the reason why we're coming to you with a little bit of a unique request at this time. As I stated, the applicant is here, Mr. Yanez. He'd be happy to answer any questions about the project that you might have. And as staff, I'm always available to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. Mayor. Before we go there, do we have any questions or comments, Council?
One of the questions I'm going to ask is the new codes in 2020. Is it true that new development, housing development in 2020 will require solar on all homes?
Mm-hmm. So it's a very good question. The language on that has been a bit nebulous, and right. So it's actually still going back and forth at the state level. Initially, the state was very hard on, yes, every single home will have to have solar installed on it. That, in all honesty, flies right in the face of all of the affordability issues and concerns that the state is already having. And a lot of people, not only from the building industry, but from affordable housing collaboratives and whatnot, have approached the state and talked about their concern with the considerable amount of additional dollars that puts in. So at this time right now, there's potential litigation arguments going back and forth, and the state has come back and said, okay, you have to be solar ready, which means that you have to have at least a panel placed that can accommodate the placement of solar panels, which often ends up being one of the most expensive challenges to retrofit.
By doing this today, in 19, we're saving not only the developer, but also the homeowner that's going to buy the home.
That is correct. This type of action, I wouldn't try to put an exact dollar figure on it, but for a scale of a development of this size, it would not be unrealistic to say that this is probably a couple $100,000 or more.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad to see that infill is going to be built on. It's been empty for a long time. It's going to make the neighborhood look nice.
I agree. And it's exciting to see it from a local developer.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Very good. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question on item one.
Mm-hmm.
On this first one that we got, it says on December 6, 2019, been certified by. Mm-hmm. And now on here it says been reviewed by.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next line, it says chapters 31 through 42 of Title 8, and on the new one it says chapters 3 and 4. So
yes.
Which one, this one was not correct?
It's the typo, that was a typo where it said chapters 31 and 42. It should have been 3 and 4 the entire time. So that was simply a typo that we caught. And as far as it being reviewed or certified, we can't certify the technical correctness. We were preparing all the staff reports with the anticipation that all of that could be addressed before today's meeting.
Okay.
But then, of course, as we got to today and those items still had not been able to come across the finish line, we had to make that. We wanted to make sure that the notation of it was correct because it is not being certified, but it has been reviewed.
Okay.
And that also changed there from the city engineer to the city engineer's designee, and that's because it's the city surveyor that has taken a look at those items without the city engineer currently in place right now.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think this is a good development, and I just want to make sure it flows through and we don't have glitches just because we have staff changes. So.
Great. Any other questions, comments? Questions for the public? Being none?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salina?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Workshop. Turn over to admin. Nicole?
Yes.
Presentation of June 30th, 2019. Actual valuation of retiree health care plan.
Thank you very much. And Paul will take this from here.
Okay. Good evening. Hopefully one last time, council. So it's getting late. I will keep this as brief as possible. This is a recurring item that we bring forward roughly every 2 years. And it's information about our retiree health care plan. We're required by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board to value our retiree medical plan every 2 years. What's in front of you, and actually it's not, I'm sorry. There's the city clerk's passing around the actual report. And I'm not going to be going through this slide by slide, word by word. Like I said, I'm going to try to keep it brief.
Thank you.
So the purpose of evaluating our plan is that the council and the public understands what the cost is of our retiree medical plan and what we're doing to address the unfunded liabilities that have accrued there. So this valuation was as of June 30th, 2019, and I'm on the first page of the handout. I will not be going through all of the contents of the report, and I'll be just sort of skipping, and so I'll tell you exactly when I'm skipping here. So turning the page, and it is double-sided, we have slides 1 and 2, top and bottom. I already mentioned that this valuation date is as of June 30th, 2019. The plan that we have is a OPEB trust because the council back in 2015, we elected to join the California Employers Retiree Benefit Trust and start socking away money for future expenses of retiree medical plans. So we're currently setting aside 15% of our annual premiums, and we send it to a Section 115 trust, which is an irrevocable trust just for our retiree health care plan. The plan is closed to new entrants. So back in 2013, the council established a tiered retiree medical benefit structure. So new employees are not eligible to receive this benefit. Okay. So turning the page to slides 3 and 4, and I do apologize for the small page numbering. The expected rate of return on the Section 115 trust is 6.75% a year. So that's their long-term plan to earn interest on the money that we send them for the future use. So because of us setting aside this money, it can earn interest, and it's going to help reduce our liability over time. That's the asset allocation, so stocks, bonds, treasuries, that sort of thing. The next slide covered participants. So as of June 30th, 2018, which was the measurement date for this valuation, we had 44 retirees that were eligible to receive these benefits. That does not include their spouses, their eligible spouses. And we had 115 active employees in the organization. So interestingly, because of the plan has been closed to new employees for the last 6 years, everybody hired in the last 6 years is not eligible for the plan unless they've been rehired from prior to 2013. So even though we had 115 employees as of June 30, 2018, we only have 62 full-time employees currently that are eligible to receive a retiree medical benefit from the city of Reedley should they retire from the city. 1 year ago, there was approximately 72 employees, so 10 more that were eligible. But because they've since moved on to other jobs or, you know, just left the organization for one reason or another, there's only 62 employees that are still eligible. So we do expect that number to continue to fall a little bit. which again will reduce our liability, because obviously if they're not eligible for the benefit and they leave, now the city's not going to incur that future cost. They'll get their care from another provider. So I will turn the page over once again, please, to slides 5 and 6. And I'm only going to talk about slide 5 at the top of the page. It says net OPEB liability. OPEB is sort of the accounting term for the retiree medical program. So you can see the June 30th, 2018 fiscal year and the June 30th, 2019, our total OPEB liability. So that's if we were to close up shop right now as a city and we did no more services, then as of June 30th, 2019, we would need to have approximately $9 million set aside to pay for all the future benefits of the retiree medical program. The liability has increased a little bit over the last year by $418,000. However, our amount that we've set aside has also increased. So the bottom line number that the council should be aware of is that since we're setting aside money, we are starting to become funded in our future benefits. So like CalPERS, they always talk about how much funded status they are. I don't know what their latest number is, whether it's 72% or 73% funded for the future. It might be a little higher now that I think about it. But as of right now, we're at 1.8% funded, which doesn't sound like much, but many of the retiree medical plans in the state are not funded at all. So we've started down this path. It will start to grow a little bit faster rate as less people are eligible for the plan and we start to build up more money in the trust. We were at 1.2% 1 year ago, so we've had a little bit of improvement. I'm going to skip over the bottom of the page. That's the detail on the bottom line numbers on slide 5. Turning the page, please, to page slide 7, and it's the slide called sensitivity of net OPEB liability, and it just shows that depending upon how much money the trust earns, it significantly impacts how much our liability is. If they earn higher than 6.75%, it reduces our liability from almost $9 million to $8 million. So it's a big improvement if they do better than their expectations. However, if they do worse, it's just like CalPERS with the pensions, and our liability goes up. So does our premiums that we get in our healthcare. So as we pay higher premiums for the supplement plans and that sort of thing, that impacts this as well. And that's why that's why we price out our plans every year, to make sure that those plans are competitively priced. So that said, I don't have any other, other than going into more detail, unless the council wants to go into more detail. I know you're just seeing this for the first time. Our current funding plan set aside in this year's budget is we pay all the premiums. It's about $300,000 a year. It does fluctuate depending upon who's eligible. So as people retire from the city, we will get more people into the plan. As people age and get into a Medicare supplement plan, those premiums are much lower than if you're under 65 and you've retired from the city. So once you turn 65, you get supplement plan, those premiums are much lower. So the price, the amount we spend every year does fluctuate. We're setting aside 15% of the premiums, which is roughly $53,000 a year. We as staff definitely recommend to continue pre-funding at 15%. We would like to see if we have additional funds in future years to maybe pre-fund at higher than 15%, because that helps reduce our liability and it ensures the feasibility of this plan going forward. So the council made a big step in 2015 when they established the irrevocable trust, because it said, we want to continue funding this. We believe in the importance of taking care of our retirees and their dependents. So what we're trying to do is make the plan financially feasible long-term so that we don't have to cut those benefits later. So with that, that concludes my presentation. I know it was brief, but we like to get in front of you every so often and give you an update on the health of the plan.
Well, let me ask you a question. You mentioned that the number of people that qualify for this, you said the number might go down?
Yes.
What if the city grows? Does that mean it's still?
So if the city grows and we have to hire additional staff, if we have to go above, I think we have 120 full-time positions now, give or take. If we have to grow, then unless we've rehired people who used to work for us, right, all those new employees will not be eligible for the plan.
So years ago, you may recall, we took a really big step, and it was a controversial step, to cap the plan and then tier it off, meaning any new employees are not eligible for joining this plan, and any existing employees are tiered off at different rates depending on how many years of service they had. Existing retirees who were already being covered, we kept as is. We wanted to abide by whatever agreements had been made with those employees in the past. So this council did something that other councils around the state are now looking at doing. Very smart move, and in fact, people talk with us all the time when we are at some of our finance conferences and city manager conferences about how did you do that? That's so controversial. But this city did a very smart thing. And so new employees, even if we were to grow 200 employees, 300 employees, those employees are not eligible for this particular benefit. And so this liability, we have just capped our liability. It's great, because now we know the total liability, and it can only get lower, not bigger, unless something completely wacky happens with the market, but not with the number of employees or retirees. Okay. Yeah, so it's a very contained amount now, and will only get smaller.
Okay. I want to say I appreciate the hard work you put into all this. It's amazing how, you know, I always say that our staff is always proactive in what you do, and we appreciate that. It makes our job so much easier, and thank you for that.
Appreciate that.
Any other questions, comments from the council?
Well, no action.
No action?
I just have a question. Some of your following pages.
Oh, yes.
How come there's no numbers on them?
I'm sorry?
On some of the following pages, like on page 19, page 20, 22, There's hardly any numbers. There's like blanks.
Yes, so this report is completed by a certified actuary. This is their template that they use for all OPEB valuations.
Okay.
There were no deferred outflows and inflows. That's for a much more complex plan.
Okay.
However, unfortunately, they leave it in their template.
That's right.
But this information does go to our financial statements, so when those become available next month, you'll be able to see notes about this retiree medical plan in our city financial statements.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Very well. Any, 17. Minutes of the regular meeting of October 3rd, 2019 of Reedley Planning Commission. Bob.
Yeah, and items 17, 18, 19, and 20 are receive and file reports. And so later on, if you have any questions, staff can answer those individually in meetings for you.
Very good. So we move on to council reports. Councilman Member Solano.
Well, enjoyed the Reedy football game. That was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And nice to see Reedy College come out of that. Mm-hmm. That was a great game. Just like the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Christmas tree lighting was, again, we kind of lucked out, no rain, and had a nice crowd, so that's great. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. All I have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Council Member Beck.
I don't have anything.
Pro temp, very fast.
I attended the Faith House banquet, and was good to hear people who had been served by that program talk about it and tell about the good work that's being done there. And so I think it's been a very successful year, and I see it continuing to do what we intended it to do. So I was very, very pleased with that. Attended the Kings River Groundwater Sustainability Agency meeting, and we will be approving our GSA plan to go to the state, our water plan, for our area at our next meeting on December the 19th. If you're interested, it is on the website, and if you need that information for detail, I can help you with that. Also that same day, attended the COG meeting in Fresno, and they celebrated 50 years of being in business, and that was a fun event. We did not have a quorum, so we ended up not having a meeting, Mr. Beck. I was taking his place, so I didn't have to do anything. So tomorrow, be thinking of me,
because
we're going to have some controversial items to go through.
Yeah, you got some.
So hopefully I can state my piece, and I've talked to a few of our other cities to try to encourage them to vote with me on those. Anyway, on November the 22nd, attended the city employee potluck and yummy food, and Russ Robertson made a comment about enjoy your family and be thankful for each one, because they may not be at the next gathering. And for him, that's going to be the case. And I just think of the leaders, been a lot of leaders in our community, Georgia Lynchide and Pastor Melvin Harrell, that passed away this last couple of weeks. Make today good.
Passed away.
Because you may not have tomorrow with them. Also attended the Cruising for Jesus Thanksgiving celebration, and they purchased a new little house next door that will be used for parking and some rooms for the Sunday school classes. Also attended the Farm Equipment Light Parade, and that is always a fun event for me, and it didn't disappoint me this year either. Thank you for staff for helping to put that together. I'm sure Russ was very involved with that also, and PD. I saw a lot of people walking, officers walking in the background, and you know, with having what happened over at the coast a couple of months ago, I was very cognizant of the big crowd there that night. And then also attended the senior citizen volunteer lunch today. And you know, Reedley's a unique community, and one of the things that makes it special is that we have so many people that give of their time and volunteer and serve in our community in whatever way they can, and that was evident today. It's fun to see people working together and helping each other. And if we end up not having another meeting before Christmas, all of you have a Merry Christmas, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. I also attended the parade, and it was a lot of fun. I thought we had some great entries this year. Was at the senior luncheon. The meal was phenomenal. I don't know that I've had a turkey as tender and tasty as today, so... Thank you for doing that, Sarah, and your staff. It was wonderful. Anyhow, we turn it over to our admin.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any reports?
I do, a couple. We did finally get our letter, so to speak, for our tax measure, so we will have Measure B on the ballot. So I was just texting with Paul. We have Measure B for a better Reedley. How about that? So, and he says we can have C on B for the Spanish voters, but I'm not sure that works exactly right. So anyways, what I did think was interesting when we got this news from the county very late this evening, they provided us the letters for all of the tax measures going forward. And I thought you would find it interesting to know that there are 11 local tax and bond measures in the county of Fresno. We are not the only ones. In fact, City of Orange Cove is doing a parcel tax. Parlier Unified is doing a parcel tax. That's a specified tax per parcel. It requires a two-thirds approval vote. It's a pretty high threshold to get, but they are moving forward with a parcel tax. Parlier Unified moving forward with a parcel tax. There are others in the
So anyways, I wanted to let you know there are 11 just in Fresno County alone. So to sit out there, if there are concerns from other citizens, Reedley is not unique, even in Fresno County. That's just Fresno County in March. Mm-hmm. That's not the rest of the state. So I thought you'd find that interesting for our Measure B. Mm-hmm. Speaking of B, Boeing was here on Thursday. Toured our town. By the way, I thought it was pretty neat. Dr. Larson, who was here from their Denver office, when we were heading to lunch, we had a few extra minutes, and I suggested that I would drive him over and tour the airport. And he says, Nicole, I see airports all the time. Show me something unique about your town. And so I took him over to the river and showed him the beaches and the river beaches, and he absolutely loved it. He loved our downtown, loved our beaches. And I thought, how neat. I really loved his perspective on that. Show me what's unique about Reedley. Mm-hmm. So the meetings went well on Thursday with KCUSD. He was connecting in with some of the leaders over there to tie in the flight simulators with curriculum. We also had some special meetings for him to connect with CYM and after-school providers so that after-schools can begin to use those. Mm-hmm. And of particular note, we were able to facilitate a meeting with him and Dr. Buckley for Reedley College, which is going to yield some phenomenal things for Reedley College, which means phenomenal things for our city. Right. So good things are happening, and I want to just say, Dr. Buckley, I think they selected such a great man for the president's job because he's very, very humble, very open, very innovative, and I was really impressed at the way he handled himself in the Boeing meeting and how he's followed up with me. And really just wants to kind of walk hand in hand rather than the college go off and do their thing. So just some really good comments I have about him. Lastly, I want to let you know that our city engineer, Mary Lou Morales, does start tomorrow. We have quite a plate for her to take. It's building and building. As a matter of fact, I keep emailing her every day with new stuff that she's going to have. So I'm excited for you to meet her. She is a fluent speaker and writer in Spanish, so I think that's going to be very helpful for us. Mm-hmm. And so as we get the opportunity, we won't have another meeting until January, but as we get the opportunity to introduce you to her, we'll do so. So any other staff members with updates? Oh, a couple.
I didn't necessarily have anything to say, but I just wanted to say, in case I don't see you all, have a Merry Christmas.
Same to staff.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Sure will.
Hello. Rob and I just wanted to make the council aware of a project we're jointly working on. I told him he's much more posh in the term, so I'll let him kind of describe it a little bit more. But we feel like the timing is perfect with Dale Melville resigning and staff getting a little more involved with the parkway. The foundation has shown an interest in getting involved with the parkway. So we're jointly working with a grad student to kind of map out where does the parkway go from here.
Yeah, absolutely. We had we actually had a person that's right now working on her master's degree in city and regional planning at the University of Oregon. We're not going to hold that against her because she is a Fresno girl. So she's just going there and coming right back. Had reached out to me, someone I had worked with in the past, and she said, I'm looking for an item on my senior thesis. And over the years, we've been asked multiple times by the council about what now for the parkway? Mm-hmm. How is it going to connect around the north side? What are the potentials for, you know, the south side?
And we connecting just, to Dinuba.
Absolutely. And so we wanted to take a look at, okay, what is a master plan for that? There was never an actual master plan that was done for a complete and total system. There was so much work put into what we have now and completing that and plans to get to that area. Mm-hmm. But nothing that had ever talked about what are those connections coming through the other areas of town. And now that we are seeing good development happening, this is the time to get those plans into place, because then when you have developers coming through the door and they're looking to build items, you know right where you want that alignment to be, and those items become part of that condition of approval. So that we thought that the time was right for it. The cost was even better to be able to get some significant help here from someone who has years of planning experience already. So we were excited for that. It's everything is preliminary right now, but we wanted to make sure that council was aware. We're absolutely always listening. And we're going to start talking about that. And then as we get closer with what we think looks like potential alignments and any questions, comments, concerns that we're having along the way, then we're going to be looping council into all those discussions.
I'm glad you're bringing that up, because we're talking about 15, maybe 20 years ago, that was discussed, some of the plans that you're talking about today, and nothing was done at all. But there was a lot of great discussion. So I'm glad you're bringing it back up.
Good.
And what's really nice is Dale has made himself available. So he shared that with us. There's been two different plans that have been discussed, but nothing has happened. We've shared with him kind of what we're thinking, and so he's definitely a resource, which is nice.
Great.
Just as a side note regarding that walkway or that trail, I had a friend that just recently moved to Dinuba, and she says, you know, the one thing I miss, my kids always were able to ride on that trail, and there's no trail in Dinuba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So go Reedley.
It's an awesome amenity. It really is.
Yes, it is, especially for kids that are learning. There's a couple of long pieces that you can just say, okay, go till you get to the stop sign, or, you know, and then stop, or go on that roundabout thing and come back.
Absolutely.
And they do. And I can walk, and they can ride their bike.
Well, that sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you for looking ahead as well. Very good.
I believe that's it, Mayor.
It's time to go home, and I believe we're going to go dark for the next, right?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much. In fact, Council, we do need one more thing from you, and that is we would like to go dark on Christmas Eve so that we don't have to come. We have no items, but we do need a quick straw poll, or a quick vote, rather, I should say, to not have a meeting on the 24th. So
that'll be our Christmas present to everybody.
Thank you. Yes. Well, we can meet if you really want to, but so if somebody could make a motion and a
Mayor has the first.
Uh-huh.
Who has the second?
Second.
Councilmember Beck has the second.
Council has a second.
Very good. Thank you all. Have a good night and Merry Christmas.
Thank
Sarah?
You.
Sarah. Can I talk?